Stillman and Company, hour number three here on this Friday, 102.5, 106.3. The game. We are presented by Southern Bank of Tennessee, your bank for small business. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, David Reed, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hour number three of the show. We're going to dive into the College World Series. It's been fun out there in Omaha. I want to lead this conversation off with, what was that ninth inning on Wednesday night between Arkansas and LSU? For anybody who didn't watch it, it was one of the craziest innings of college baseball I think I've ever seen. Arkansas had two easy opportunities to win that game and gave it away. Shortstop gets a ground ball with runners on first and second. Instead of trying to turn a game-ending double play, he goes to third to get the lead runner. Next batter hits a line drive to left. Left fielder slips, it kicks off him, and rolls into the corner, ties the game. And then the next batter, Jared Jones, hits a walk-off single.
Ridiculous.
I mean, I've heard the Arkansas, the Omahawks, that they're cursed. Still haven't won a national championship in baseball. Obviously, in 2018, it was the pop-up down the first baseline against Oregon State. If somebody catches it, they're national champions. Instead, it falls in no man's land, in foul territory, and they end up losing to the Beavers. I mean, I kind of believe it now after that. I mean, Arkansas, they had it handed to them twice and couldn't take advantage.
It was a self-inflicted loss, though.
Right.
Like, if that shortstop turns it to second, then they turned it back over to the first.
It was routine.
It's routine. They had three steps on the runner to first.
It was an easy, tailor-made double play. And obviously a lot goes into that. Like, you got to get it to second. He's got to turn it. You got to make the catch at first.
Right.
But something could have gone wrong. But that,
what a weird thing to go for the lead runner headed to third.
Especially in a two-run game.
Right.
Like, it wasn't a one-run game where that run ties it. That run means nothing. And as a shortstop, with a runner on first and one out, the only thing he should have been thinking about was turning the double play, and he didn't. It was really strange, but it does set up a really fun national championship series. You got LSU looking for their second title in 3 years and trying to extend the SEC's reign of terror across college baseball for six straight seasons, winning the national championship, dating back to that Oregon State title back in 2018. Vanderbilt won it in 2019, then the two Mississippi schools won it, then LSU, then Tennessee. But Coastal Carolina trying to win their second national championship and have won 26 straight games.
They're a fun team.
They are.
They're a really fun team. They play a lot of small ball, too, which is a lot of fun for a little G5 program. Although, I'm kind of tired of people acting like Coastal Carolina is this massive underdog. They're a good program. They got a national title to their name. That wasn't that the team that they were quite literally the last team in to the tournament?
I think
and then
so.
Just won the whole damn thing.
Yeah, they and that happens before. Ole Miss did it back in
22.
Yes,
they were the last. State was 21.
Yes,
that's
Mississippi
right.
State won 21. Ole Miss beat Oklahoma in 22. Yeah, that it. Coastal Carolina, they're the underdog, but they're a really good team. Like, they've got almost 60 wins on the season. I think it's going to be a fun series. LSU's got a lot of MLB talent. Cade Anderson, who's going to start in game one, possible number one overall pick in the MLB draft. I'm going to butcher his name. Rock Kalowski, their shortstop.
Don't look at me.
I wish I had looked up the pronunciation, but
Kalowski.
He is the possible number one pick in next year's draft. So LSU's loaded with talent, but Coastal has proven that they can win over and over and over. They have not lost at all in the postseason. They swept their way through the regional, the Supers, and now have won all the way through Omaha. It's going to be fun. First game is tomorrow evening, and then I think game two is Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Before game seven of the NBA Finals. And then if necessary, the final game for the championship would be Monday night.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a fun series. There's a lot of weight towards the, LSU is going to go in and sweep it easily. And they very well may. There we go. Words are hard.
Stadium Pulse.
Stadium Pulse. Don't bother replying. Anyways, LSU very well. I'm not even going to try anymore. LSU could very well sweep the series, but I think Coastal Carolina is just the hottest team right now.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to make it a fun series. I could see this going to three, to be honest with you.
I wish I had clipped it, but I didn't really see it until right before we were going on air. The Coastal Carolina players were asked, what do you admire about LSU? And they paused and went, not much. So maybe it gets a little bit feisty between these two teams. Arkansas and LSU, I was really hoping that Arkansas was going to win that game because I thought the winner take all, winner moves on to the championship game would have been really fun. Arkansas is a good team. Like, that is a really good Arkansas team that just got in their own way.
Yeah, as is usually the case for them.
And the SEC got a little unlucky that the two teams they had in Omaha were matched up with each other in the first game. So there was no opportunity for an SEC-on-SEC national championship after Supers. But both those teams, I would say, were national championship quality teams. LSU has gotten hot at the right time. Jay Johnson looking for his second in 3 years. I would love to see Coastal upset him, though.
I would, too. But, you know, I criticize a lot about this, the whole SEC homerism thing, you know.
Yeah,
I want this team to win because they're in the SEC. I'm kind of feeling that this year. I kind of just want to see the SEC domination of baseball continue and just get their sixth streak.
Yeah,
like it's an unbelievable streak, and I kind of just want to see it continue.
And we said that if Arkansas had been able to catch a foul pop-up in 2018, it would be seven straight.
Right.
It is crazy how good the SEC has been in college baseball. Last year, it was the College World Series with four SEC teams and four ACC teams, and the ACC teams just didn't stand a chance. I think maybe UNC made it to the national semifinals, but pretty much outside of that, the SEC just rolled with the teams they had there. Ken in Paris, Tennessee, correcting me, yes. Rock Kalowski plays for UCLA, not LSU. I mixed those two up because they played in the game earlier that day before UCLA played Arkansas, and I must have mixed it up. Thank you for the correction there. But Cade Anderson could be the number one pick this year for LSU.
Right.
So still a very talented team. Jared Jones has been great for them. LSU is always going to be in it because they just dominate the transfer portal.
I don't want to say they're a baseball school. They'll always be a football school in my mind. But they treat baseball the same way they treat football from a fan perspective.
Right.
Like, they're all in.
Well, and you see it in all their sports. With the exception of men's basketball lately, which they haven't been very good in. But pretty much everything else for LSU, you don't want to get into a bidding war with the Tigers.
Have we checked in on the Rocco's Jell-O shot?
They were over 25,000 last time I checked.
That's ridiculous.
Well, they had the Raising Cane's guy, Todd Graves.
Oh, that's right.
And he was down there with Paul Skeens and Livy Dunn, and I think they just loaded up.
I'm sure they did. He's done that before.
He did that two years ago
when Skeens
and Cruz were playing there. But I don't think they got anywhere close to 25,000.
They're ridiculous.
I mean, think about how much money is being made. I know they donate, I think, $1.50 out of the five for every shot that they sell. But
they're just like a little hole-in-the-wall bar.
Right. So
in the middle of Omaha, Nebraska.
$3.50 they're pocketing on all those Jell-O shots. And between all of the teams, they've probably sold close to like 60,000. So they're making 200 grand. 300 grand probably off of Jell-O shots only.
I mean, that's their business.
Plus right all of the other drinks and food that they're selling. So, yeah.
That's vacation.
The Rocco, whoever came up with the Rocco's Jell-O shot challenge in Omaha.
I think it was Rocco.
Deserves a raise. You think it was Rocco?
Yeah.
The name of the bar?
Rocco. Yeah, Rocco's the guy.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're going to widen this conversation a little bit because the SEC, as dominant as they've been in college baseball, it's really all sports. And I want to take a look at this year specifically and what the SEC was able to do across the major sports in the NCAA. We'll get to that coming up next. Jake Lyman and Connor Newt were in for Jared Stillman today here on Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. That was the call from Wednesday night as LSU came back, tied it on that play. A line drive to left. The left fielder slips. Ball rolls into the corner. Tied at 5. Jared Jones wins it just a couple of pitches later. LSU advancing to face Coastal Carolina in the College World Series Championship. Best of 3 starting tomorrow. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt filling in for Jared Stillman today on this Fireball Hot Take Friday on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. We'd love to hear from you. You can text or call 615-737-1025. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I want to expand our conversation here beyond college baseball. And this was actually Connor's idea to look at the SEC and how dominant it's become in college sports. And we talk about the Power 2 and the SEC and the Big 10 and how close it is, and we're going to get called SEC biased because we always do when we talk about how dominant the SEC is.
One Big 10 guy is going to call
right. It's, oh, the SEC.
Look at the last two national champions.
Which is a point I'm going to make here.
Yeah.
Because it was a dominant year from the SEC. You look at the at basketball. Men's basketball had two SEC teams in the Final Four, and Florida wins the national championship. Women's basketball, two teams in the Final Four. UConn did win the national championship, but South Carolina played for it. Baseball, you had two of the final three teams standing in the College World Series. LSU could end up winning the national championship. It is funny to say that the only big sport that the SEC didn't have a team playing for the national championship was football.
Yeah.
It was Ohio State and Notre Dame.
And think about how many teams from the basketball and baseball perspective actually got in. You know, men's basketball gets 14 in. Women's, correct me if I'm wrong, Jake, 10?
I think you're right, 10, yes. It was kind of a have and have not 10 here in the SEC. Baseball had 13.
Yep. I mean, it just dominant.
Right. The SEC, I've said this before, like in football at the very least, the Big Ten, the top of the Big Ten can compete with the top of the SEC.
Sure.
Like if you made an 8-team playoff bracket and put your top four teams from the SEC, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, and Texas, and you put them on one side, and then in the Big Ten you took Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon,
yeah,
and just did a 8-team bracket, I don't know how that would turn out. A Big Ten team could win it, an SEC team could win it. But in pretty much every other sport, it does feel like the SEC is just head and shoulders above everybody else.
It is. And honestly, I don't know if that gap is going to close across all sports. It's closing a little bit in football. You're seeing more Big
right.
Ten, some independent.
I mean, the last two champions, Ohio State and Michigan, you can't take that away from the Big Ten that they've won the last two national championships.
Right. And you had two Big Ten teams in the final last year, or the semifinals.
Right, yes.
Penn State and Ohio State.
Yep. Texas was the only SEC team that made it to the Final Four.
Yep.
And honestly, they went down to the wire, went to overtime with Arizona State. Like, there was a chance that not a single SEC team made the college football semifinal. That was a great game. That was kind of my draft crush on Cam Scataboo after that game, because, I mean, he was unstoppable. He was splitting out wide, catching go balls down the sideline.
That was my Quinn Ewers is not a good quarterback game.
Yeah, that might have been the NFL's Quinn Ewers is not a good
quarterback game. That was the game most people fell in love with Matthew Golden too.
Right. Yeah. But to get back on the point here is that Texas almost didn't make the semifinal. So I think a lot of people talk about how the SEC is the standard in football. They're up there, but the SEC is 100% the standard in all of the other major sports, including softball, too, if you want to count. I mean,
Oklahoma is granted, all their titles were won in the Big 12, but
right,
they're freaking dynasty.
And then Texas won it this year. So it's like, yeah, those teams haven't been SEC for long, but they are now, and that gap is only going to continue to widen.
Right. I think football is probably the only sport you could argue against that gap is kind of closing a little bit. the Big Ten. I mean, you have these powerhouse. Oregon is a powerhouse team. Ohio State just won the national championship. Michigan had a down year last year, but
they beat Alabama in the bowl game.
And they will take that to their deathbed.
Well, they also beat Ohio State, so
they did.
Michigan fans, you know, even though it was obviously a drop off from winning the national championship, I don't think you can be all that unhappy with that season.
Yeah, and I think NIL is part of the reason that the gap is kind of closing, especially in football.
Yeah.
I don't want to say closing, but
I'm wondering how the revenue sharing affects the SEC's gap in other sports.
Right.
Like, I think football is always going to be somewhat close because the Big Ten does make a lot of money. In fact, the Big Ten makes more money than the SEC from their TV deal, right?
Yeah, their CBS deal is ridiculous.
So, like, I think that will be close. I'm wondering if revenue sharing helps or hurts the SEC in the secondary tier sports, basketball, women's basketball, baseball, softball.
Because you look at the ratings this year for SEC basketball, some of the top games of the season were SEC matchups.
Yeah.
You know, Kentucky and Tennessee. You had Alabama and Auburn. Now, granted, these are all, you know, top 10 matchups, but you still had, like, Missouri was up there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just basketball, I think, everyone talks about football and how deep the SEC is. They may be even deeper in basketball.
Well, and everybody was taking their victory laps when SEC basketball struggled a little bit in the tournament the last couple of years.
Then they won the national championship, but then it all went away.
Right. You get two teams into the Final Four, and no one really starts to question it anymore. And Florida obviously takes the championship. I just don't know if the money being sent out to these players is going to increase or decrease with revenue sharing in these sports, because I think men's basketball probably will be about the same because they're getting 15%. I don't think it's going to change that much. There will be brand deals and sponsorships for these men's basketball players. But baseball is the one that intrigues me the most.
I'm very curious about that.
Because baseball isn't even, when they break down these, you know, 75% goes to football, 15% to men's basketball, 5% to women's basketball, and then it's 5% to other sports.
Yeah.
So baseball's not even getting a full 5%. Those are bigger rosters. I'm wondering if some of these schools that have invested into baseball are going to be able to continue to invest into baseball.
Right. And baseball is kind of a weird sport in the scholarship sense in that most of those players don't get full rides right out of high school.
And I think they did I see today they might be changing that they're going to cut the roster to 34, but all of them are going to get full ride scholarships? I might have seen that somewhere.
You may be right. Which is great for baseball. I love that guys are getting opportunities like that to go full ride to play college baseball. But
yes, according to Google, starting in the 2025-26 season, college baseball will move from an equivalency sport with 11.7 scholarships to a headcount sport where every player on the roster may earn a full scholarship. So the D1 scholarship limit will move from 11.7 to 34 for NCAA purposes. So that is big, but it also might it might even the playing field a little bit, too.
Yeah. Well, baseball is weird.
You know, I'm kind of disagreeing with myself in my head because maybe some players might not go to an LSU because they had too many scholarship players already and instead go somewhere where they can get a full ride. Now that's not an issue. So maybe instead of evening the field, it might actually make the disparity a little bit bigger.
Baseball is the weirdest sport, man. Like, baseball is that one sport where it's not usually the best team that wins it. It's the hottest.
Right.
So I'm curious how this revenue sharing thing will impact that, because you can get, obviously on paper, the best roster possible. But at the end of the day, look at Coastal Carolina.
Right.
They're the hottest team in baseball right now.
You play your best baseball down the stretch, who knows what can happen.
Right.
Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our friend Kenny the Mailman wants to chime in. Kenny, good afternoon. What you got for us?
Good friends. How are y'all doing?
Doing well.
Doing great.
You know what? This may very well be my most favorite Jared Stillman segment. I like the hosts.
Listen, we appreciate it.
I think what's happening is super logical, because if you look at it, not only did the SEC add teams, they added the super wealthy. And the super wealthy challenged the wealthy teams already in the conference. Texas A&M is not going to get outspent by Texas. Florida and Tennessee is going to start raising money now. It's becoming an arms race with money, and they're not going to be left behind, which sort of zooms the results for the whole conference up. So it's almost a money issue, this growing of the conference. Then, you know, I never really liked it. It's you sort of, they're not going to do anything because we don't like it. But that bringing the money in has been a super, super influence. And it's not a surprise, the results. It's like somebody saying, well, did you know 10 of the top 15 most expensive homes are in Belle Meade? Well, duh. That's where the money is. So I think this is more a reaction of the money and players that wasn't even looking maybe to the South. But if you double what you're going to get in NIL, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll go to Ole Miss now. They are recruiting in football like they've never recruited before, and it's not because they've suddenly become just a great place to be. It's okay. They're paying the dough. So I think this is a money issue. Y'all have a great, great day.
You too, Kenny. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of where college sports has been heading for a while, is that quote-unquote recruiting isn't as important anymore. Like, you know, we always like to talk in terms of the college football video game of like, oh, you got to sell them on this and the academics.
Send that house, and, baby.
And, oh, it's a great college town and all that kind of stuff. I just don't think it. That's part of it.
Yeah.
Like, players do want to go somewhere that they like to be. No one's going to go somewhere that they don't like. But money is a big, big, big part of it.
And he made a great point as far as the SEC is concerned. SEC just added two of the biggest brands in college football that have probably two of the largest bank accounts in Texas and Oklahoma.
And you look at what Texas did in their first year across the board. They went to the Final Four in football. Men's basketball, they made the NCAA tournament.
Won their bubble game.
Women's basketball, they went to the Final Four. Baseball, they were the number two overall seed.
Yeah.
So and then softball won the national championship. So Texas had a great first year in the SEC. Oklahoma was fine. Football wasn't great.
They made the tournament basketball.
Right. They made the tournament in both men's and women's basketball. Like, there were some good things from Oklahoma, but Texas really came in, and the SEC already was at a certain level, but I think Texas is a huge addition for this conference in terms of competing with the Big Ten, because the Big Ten, Oregon is great in football. They're okay in a lot of other things. Washington wasn't that great in football this year.
Yeah. USC.
USC hasn't been a power in a while, even with Caleb Williams. Yeah, they were close to making the college football playoff, but they blew it. And UCLA is UCLA football right now. So right now, the SEC is winning in the expansion game. I know that's not a groundbreaking take, but I think there's a long way to go in that too, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago in terms of what a super league would look like in college football. I think there's a long way to go. Clemson and Florida State are still big names to be had out there. There are some other schools, so long way to go, but the SEC obviously is the winner.
Look at Tom.
Oh, wow.
Tom Brady is coming out to Cody Rhodes' entrance right now. Ripping Eli Manning's jersey, and I believe Eli Manning is going to come out and attack him in full WWE style. This is great.
Oh, there it is.
There he is.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady, he's enjoying retirement. You can tell.
We are enjoying that he is retired.
Yes, I think all NFL fans are outside of Foxborough and the Tampa St. Pete area. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're talking SEC, just in general, about how dominant this conference has been across the board in sports, as I guess Monday, at the very least, wraps up the academic year. of 2024-2025. It was a great year for the SEC. We'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, we're in for Jared Stillman on this Fireball Hot Take Friday here on Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt filling in for Jared Stillman today. Jared will be back on Monday for his usual time, 2 to 6. We're into the SEC here, as the SEC looks for its sixth straight college baseball national championship, six in a row. And, you know, there wasn't a tournament during COVID, so this dates back to 2018. It has been 7 years since a team outside of the Southeastern Conference has won a college baseball national championship. And again, Arkansas was one out away from winning that year. LSU has a chance to extend it against Coastal Carolina this weekend. Should be a fun series with game one coming up tomorrow. Connor, do you think we're far from a year where the SEC sweeps the major sports? Like, I think it could happen in the next couple of years where the SEC wins football, men's basketball, women's basketball, baseball, and softball. You look at it this year, they only missed two if LSU wins this weekend. And South Carolina was in the national championship game against UConn women's basketball.
I think the best way to answer that question would be to look at the primetime players in each respective sport. I mean, football, right now, if you were to ask me who in the SEC is capable of winning a national championship, I'd say Georgia, Bama, Texas. That might be it of those three. Maybe LSU?
Yeah, LSU would be kind of on the borderline there. And then you've got kind of the outskirts of, like, dark horses. We talked about this on Tuesday with Frazier, that, like, a Florida or a South Carolina, if everything went right, they could find themselves as, you know, maybe a top eight seed in the college football playoff.
Then in basketball, as far as players, you got Kentucky, Auburn, Alabama.
Florida. You got to put Tennessee
maybe
in there.
Maybe Tennessee, yeah. Baseball, you have LSU, Arkansas, Tennessee.
Vanderbilt. No, I mean,
Kentucky has been teetering in and out of that conversation.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's just, it does feel like every single year it's the SEC versus the world. Like, is the SEC going to win it in this sport, or is it going to be somebody else? And there, a lot of teams do challenge the SEC, but in terms of just straight-up depth across the board, and this goes on to other sports too, like the ACC does still have a pretty firm hold over soccer. Like,
yeah,
they have the big soccer schools of Duke and North Carolina. Yeah, lacrosse is a lot of those East Coast schools. I mean,
the Big Ten dominates hockey.
The SEC doesn't even have lacrosse, I don't think, like men's or women's, because Vandy women's lacrosse plays in the American.
Yeah.
So the SEC doesn't care about that kind of sport. But like soccer is still a North Carolina-centric sport, and like Florida State's always really good. But the major sports that are on TV all the time, it's all SEC.
Yeah. I mean, you look, even soccer, women's soccer, you go on the SEC network, you're probably finding a good game.
Right. And that's the SEC, even in the sports that maybe historically they haven't been great in, they're catching up.
Yeah.
Because the money trickles down. Like, yeah, it started with football, but then it was like, oh, we're really good at football. Let's be really good at men's basketball, too. And then women's basketball, and so on and so forth. And
it's fun to watch.
It is. It is. And I know, again.
And I know you say that as an ACC man.
I grew up watching ACC sports, and the downfall of ACC men's basketball, I'd love it. Our question of the day on Tuesday was, what was something that you want a documentary on? I would love a documentary on the downfall of ACC men's basketball.
Oh, I mean, it's kind of Duke versus the world right now, isn't it?
Well, it went from so deep, even like 7 years ago.
We had the whole guard of Krzyzewski.
Right.
Roy Williams.
And maybe it is the simple question of all the coaches left.
Yeah.
But I think it's just it is a money thing too, right?
Do you think the worst SEC basketball program would fare well in the ACC?
I think they'd be middle of the pack. I mean, like, the ACC was
like
horrible.
Like if we were to put South Carolina in the ACC last year.
The ACC was horrible last year. Yeah. South Carolina blew out Virginia Tech in the non-conference.
Yeah.
The Hokies were a middle of the pack team in the ACC. So, the ACC.
They wouldn't beat Duke. They wouldn't beat North Carolina.
They wouldn't win the ACC, but I think they would be a top half of the ACC team.
Yeah. Which says a lot about the SEC.
Well, it says a lot about the ACC, too, because you look back 2018, 2019, when you had Duke was obviously still good. That was like the Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett years. UNC was still a power with, I guess, was Baycott in school already because he was there for 7 years.
Caleb Love,
RJ Davis, who finally left. But it wasn't just the Blue Bloods. Miami was really good under Larrañaga. They went to a Final Four.
Yeah.
Florida State was really good under Leonard Hamilton. You had the year where Josh Pastner and Georgia Tech won the ACC. Tony Bennett was leading Virginia to one seeds all the time.
Won a national championship with them.
It was typically like 8 to 10 ACC teams were making the tournament, and a lot of them would have deep runs. But now it's like 4 ACC teams are making the tournament, and 2 of them are usually on the bubble.
Right. I mean, last year it was Duke. Carolina was on the bubble.
Louisville was in.
Clemson was in.
Was that it?
Yeah. And 3 of the 4 lost in the first round.
Right. And Duke went to the national championship game, but.
They went to the Final Four.
Yes. Lost to Houston. But that the ACC, I think that's a documentary that needs to be told of how did the ACC go from the true power of men's college basketball for decades to...
I mean, they used to be the best conference in basketball.
An afterthought.
Yeah. Like now I'm just thinking about Louisville. Louisville used to be really good under Patino. Like, it was a battle every year.
Syracuse under Boeheim.
Yeah.
Like,
Pitt was competitive.
Pitt was good. Like, I understand that the documentary could be very short. It could be the SEC got way more money than us and all of the great coaches retired. The end. But I think there is a story there of just how the ACC in a 5-year span went from the top of the country to third or fourth best conference.
Yeah. What's a better basketball conference? The ACC or the Big Ten?
It's tough.
I think they're both pretty... I mean, look at the Big Ten. You got Purdue...
Yeah.
Michigan, occasionally. Ohio State, sometimes.
Yeah. Iowa's usually
Oregon
in there.
Is solid.
Yeah, Oregon's good.
Iowa's all right, sometimes. That's about it.
Right. I mean, the SEC, their takeover of men's basketball has been quick.
Yeah.
It's been really quick. But all the best players want to play in the Southeastern Conference now. Matthew from Jolton on our text line.
Who is back there?
Sitting back there. Says his fireball hot take Friday take of the year. Michigan will win the national championship this year with true freshman Bryce Underwood under center. I think Underwood's going to be good. I don't know about national championship good.
I think you're drinking the blue and maize Kool-Aid there, son.
I do want to talk a little bit about SEC versus Big Ten football to wrap up this conversation coming up next, because we could have maybe the game of the year in week one.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think it could be a big data point in terms of SEC versus Big Ten in football. So we'll talk about that coming up next. Wrap up this conversation. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, we are in for Jared Stillman today here on this Fireball Hot Take Friday. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Finishing up hour number 3 on this Friday. Jake Lyman and Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. Again, Jared will be back usual time on Monday at 2. We're talking about the SEC and just the dominant run that they've been on the last couple of years across all sports. During the break, we were looking. I was mentioning how the ACC fell off in men's basketball so far and so fast. In 2019, the ACC had 3 of the 4 one seeds in the NCAA tournament. And this past year, they had 4 teams in the tournament total. So in 6 years, they've gone from the best conference in college basketball to, third, fourth.
Yeah. And we also thanks to a texter on a text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, but we remember the SEC probably has the best coaches in basketball, too. I mean, you have Bruce Pearl, Nate Oates, Rick Barnes, Mark Pope, John Calipari.
You're just trying to slip Mark Pope in there, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kidding. Just slipping the guy that made the Sweet 16 in his first year with a full transfer portal team. Just trying to slip him in. They just raised in their practice facility, I saw during the break, they put up a banner and it says, number 9, the journey. They're going for it.
I mean, right. Coaches is a big part of this, but coaches also goes back to money. So it's a money thing. Like and that's what everything in college sports is going to be. Follow the money and you'll find out where the good teams are. The ACC did a poor job with their media rights deal. And you've seen the effects of that on football and men's basketball over the last 5 to 10 years.
Or haven't seen, because they're never on TV.
Right. They're on the CW. Right after reruns of One Tree Hill.
At 3:30 Central Time.
Yeah, having to find the CW is...
I don't know if I even have the CW.
You do.
I used to watch it.
I think it's pretty much a basic cable channel. So I think everybody can find it, but you might not know where to. I did want to mention Week 1, Texas-Ohio State.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
That not that a Week 1 game decides anything. There's so much time to change your season, and I don't really know if the committee is going to look at a Week 1 game as a major data point, especially if it's a close game.
Yeah.
Like if Ohio State blows out Texas, that's a huge win for them. But if it's close, I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make. But the SEC Big Ten rivalry is going to be a fun one, and it starts right off the bat with one of the best games we'll see all season. A
lot of storylines in it, too. I mean, it is obviously game day, so Lee Corso will be saying his goodbyes.
Right.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Sort of. I'll probably cry, but I love Lee Corso. But, I mean, the defending national champions coming and hosting Texas, who is arguably the best team in the SEC this year on paper.
Arch Manning
has a lot to prove.
As the full-time starter.
Yeah.
Is it Julian Sain is the starting quarterback for Ohio State this year?
Yes.
Who
flipped from an SEC school.
Right.
He was an Alabama commit. Or was he Georgia? It was a red team.
Yes. Red SEC team.
That narrows it down.
That's going to be a really fun game. I hate that it's at noon. I really do. But it might, you know, it might be better because you get a chance to see some other games.
This is my hot take. I'm okay with it being at noon because it stretches out the day.
I guess.
Week 1,
what are the other late games that day?
Kentucky plays at night, so that's just a me thing.
Right, I guess, it depends on when you want your team to play. Virginia Tech plays on Sunday.
Yeah, that's just a me thing, but I think there's a good primetime game.
Week 1 is always good. Like, there's never...
Is it Notre Dame playing someone?
That sounds right.
Maybe Clemson?
Early games, yes. 11 a.m. Central Time, Texas-Ohio State. Alabama-Florida State at 2:30.
I mean, Florida State's
always talented.
Where? In Tallahassee?
Yes. Doak Campbell.
Okay.
And then the late game, LSU-Clemson. That's going to be a great one, too.
Yeah, I knew it was Clemson.
So this is it is going to be a fun Week 1, but I always hate the best game of the day being on at noon.
Sure.
Like, I would say if I was to format that perfectly, put Alabama-Florida State at noon, then LSU-Clemson is your 3:30 game, and then primetime Texas-Ohio State.
Look at the text slide.
Well said.
Great point. Someone has texted in the word beer. Thank you.
Well done.
Motivated.
Matthew from Jolton
again,
putting out the big SEC versus Big Ten games this year. Texas at Ohio State obviously is the big one. Wisconsin-Alabama, like we saw that last year at Wisconsin. It wasn't really a good game.
Yeah.
I'm not really expecting all that much from the Badgers, especially without their defensive back that went to Miami.
Yeah,
Unless they can pull him back out. And then Michigan at Oklahoma, that could be a fun game. Oklahoma, they weren't very good last year. But then again, neither was Michigan for most of the year. So,
and this is week one, not week zero. Week zero, the games right. usually
we,
suck.
Week zero, do we have any games that are all that interesting week zero?
Farmageddon is week zero.
Is that Iowa State, Kansas State?
Yes, sir.
That's a noon game, too.
Which
oh, that's in Dublin. That's the Dublin game. And then Stanford at Hawaii, if you want to stay up. Oh, wait, that's actually, it's only a 6:30 kick.
Oh, yeah.
Usually that Hawaii first week zero game is like
locally.
11 p.m.
Vanderbilt played right. at Hawaii. It was like a 9:30 kick or something like that.
Yeah, so week zero, not that exciting. But week one's going to be good. And that SEC Big Ten matchup is Texas-Ohio State going to be fun, even though it is an 11 a.m. kick.
It's going to be a good one. I'm excited for football. My team's going to suck, but I'm excited.
We're what, like just over 60 days away now?
We're not going to play the final countdown.
No, we won't. That's a Chase and Big Joe thing. But we're a little over 2 months away.
We are, and then we're about 3 weeks away from the game, which gives just the right amount of taste.
Nice little lead up.
It's good. We're in the good times.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, you can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter, 8881, says week one or week zero, just for clarification. Naming scheme is dumb. Yeah. I mean,
week zero doesn't really serve much of a purpose. I guess it gives you a little bit of a taste of college
right.
football, but they're never good games.
I think it's mostly for people who want to bet on college football again.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, last year you had Georgia Tech and Florida State, and that was a good
right,
game.
Right, and that was exciting because Florida State was expected to blow them out. And then it was like New Mexico.
It was like New Mexico and Montana State or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So you'll get your little taste of college football in week zero, but August 30th, is the first full Saturday of college football. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Final hour of the program coming up next. We're going to dive into the NBA Finals after Indiana was able to force Game 7 last night. First Game 7 since 2016. We'll get into that and maybe have a conversation. What are some of the best Game 7s ever across all of sports?
My dad's going to be so excited
for this. I know.
This
is a Rick Knut special.
Rick Knut is
so
excited.
Came up with this topic. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Connor Knut, in for Jared Stillman today here on Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game.